welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We are talking all things travel etiquette today, because when you're traveling, what we want is for you to be happy and not worry.
Don't worry, be happy.
We are talking about travel etiquette here on the show today, and we have Anna Post with us, who is an author and trainer with the Emily Post Institute. And she's a great-great-granddaughter of etiquette guru, Emily Post. So, Anna, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, we have been talking about travel etiquette, and we wrapped up the last segment in talking about airline travel. But I have one more little scenario that I do have to ask you about, because I think everyone that I asked, what's your pet peeve, they came up with this one. And that is, what about the armrest on an airplane? Who gets to have two armrests? Is the person in the middle, the person by the window, the aisle seat person, or do we, you know, what do we do in that situation? Or do we just kind of duke it out, you know, with the elbows?
It's never the center seat, that's for sure.
Yeah, technically this is share and share alike, but I do think that the center seat, while I don't think that they belong to the center seat, I think it's really nice if you're on the aisle or the window to lean a little bit more on the armrest that belongs just to you, and to let the person in the middle have a shot at least of using them. But I don't like to say that they belong to any one person. It's a little bit of a give and take, but I like to defer to them, the person in the middle.
So should we put a little chart there for the first 30 minutes? You know, the aisle seat gets it. The second 30 minutes of the flight, the window seat person gets it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I usually get window seats, and so I just lean on my elbow toward the window instead, and I don't worry about it.
And I would be happy just to get one. I don't have to have both,
exactly.
But just one of them
just
sometimes.
One of those.
Absolutely. I mean, as a woman, it is also a little easier. I know for some men who are maybe a larger frame than I am, it's hard not to use the armrest sometimes, and I appreciate that, although I prefer that they stay completely out of my seat. They might get an armrest, but, you know, try to keep it there, please.
Exactly. Because people can't spread out a little bit into your personal space.
Yes.
But now let's talk a little bit about traveling by train and bus. So if you are in assigned seats on the train, what are some things to keep in mind when trying to find a seat? Because a lot of times there are not seat assignments on trains.
That's right. You know, this is really up to you and where you'd like to sit. You know, some people don't like to travel backwards. They don't realize that it might make them feel a little disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So think a little bit about that. If you haven't traveled by train before, you might not want to start with a backward-facing seat. But after that, you know, really it's about making sure that you leave room for others to choose a seat. It doesn't matter if you want to take an aisle seat, that's fine, but it's more important that you not pile your bags up all over the seats around you in an effort to buffer other people out. you can't do that. If you need to save a seat, that's fine, but you can't try to monopolize.
I've definitely seen that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not too cool. Not too cool at all. But now, what about if you are lost and you really can't find your train? Because some train stations, especially in, you know, some of the larger cities, there can be several trains leaving from one area and can be quite confusing. So
yes.
Any tips on that?
The best thing that I do whenever I'm unsure of anything, whether it's traveling by train or otherwise, I ask somebody who looks like they know what's what,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an official or it's another passenger. I try to pick somebody who's not distracted. Because if they're distracted, I'm probably going to have to ask my question two or three times before they understand it. And time is usually of the essence. So I try to pick somebody who doesn't have in earbuds, who looks like they're just waiting patiently. And I confirm with them what I think I know. And I've found myself in situations where I've been very glad that I've done that.
That's very good to, you know, to choose people that, you know, seem as though they're paying attention. And then you're not additionally interrupting them with having to have them, you know, take their earbuds off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anna, what is the best way to offer help to someone who might need a hand storing their luggage? You don't want to be too pushy, but what's a good way of asking if they need assistance?
Sure. It's often exactly that. You know, let the person know that you're there to help out. Can I help you with your bag? Or here, let me help you with that. You know, those are both fine. I prefer that people don't just take my bag out of my hands for me. I have occasionally had men who I think were trying to be very courteous take my bag away from me and do it for me. And, you know, this isn't going to actually hurt anything, but I do prefer the ask first. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly fine to offer to help somebody out with that for any number of reasons that might not be apparent. Somebody might be struggling with something.
Now let's skip over to car travel, because I know car travel can be, you know, a lot of fun, you know, those road trips where you pile everyone in. But I think Doc Bill has a question, you know, that he wants to ask about car travel.
Sure.
Particularly if you're in a car, how do you let the driver know about texting and emailing that you may not feel that's appropriate or dangerous while they're driving?
After I stop yelling.
Yes. Safety first. Safety first always. Safety and etiquette shouldn't be in competition, but if there's ever any question, safety first. You know, I will often offer to people, here, why don't you tell me what you'd like typed and I'll do it for you. Offering to help them out with the communication sometimes takes a little sting out of the rebuke, but it's perfectly fine to say, you know, I'd feel so much better if you weren't texting while driving. Please let me do it for you, or let's find a place to pull off. But this is a very reasonable thing. In fact, a really important thing to advocate for.
Exactly, because not only the safety of the passengers in the car where the person's texting, but also just the passengers in the cars that are around you as well.
Absolutely.
Now, what are some good, just some basic good road rules to be a good driver out on the road?
One of the best things that you can do as a driver is, well, there's two parts. There's, you know, we're taught to drive defensively, you know, to be cautious of how other people might be driving badly. And I think that that goes for their bad manners as well as their bad driving, which sometimes are the same thing. you know, if somebody is trying to nose into your lane and you don't like it, better to just let them do it, both for safety's sake and your own temper, than to box them out. And believe me, I can become a cranky driver, too, in traffic,
terms
of not liking what other people are doing. So I know that this can be hard to do. I understand what I'm asking. But that's one side of it. And the other side is give yourself enough time to get where you're going. Whether it's the airport or the drive, it doesn't matter. If you are already under a time crunch, you're going to be much less forgiving of other people's mistakes. But if you can afford an extra 0.5 seconds to let someone in your lane, things will all be a little bit smoother.
That's great. Now, we're coming down to the end of this segment. I do have one other quick question for you. With rental cars, how do you, discuss who pays and sort of splitting up the cost of the rental car?
Definitely decide this before the trip, but any way you want to decide it can work. Often it's best, you know, you might propose one of two options, send it in an email or have a chat when they're over for dinner, and make sure that everybody agrees on it, but setting it up beforehand is best.
Absolutely. That sounds like a good idea as well. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about hotels when we go into the next segment, but, you know, there are a lot of things around hotels, and, you know, I always hear people say, well, if you're just nice when you travel, you know, you can get those perks and you can get those extra amenities. And I hear them a lot of times applying that to, you know, when you check into hotels to try and get that room upgrade and that kind of thing. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back in the next segment. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, and we have Anna Post here with Emily Post Institute. And we'll continue talking about travel etiquette when we return. On North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.